Welcome back to the Perth Business Podcast. We're a podcast for Perth's business community, and we give voices to entrepreneurs, creatives, and thought leaders via a platform that allows you to access their stories on the go.
I'm Taryn, the host of the podcast, a digital marketing gal with 5 years of industry experience working and networking with the best in Perth over a bev when the best stories tend to emerge. The podcast features origin stories of our local thought leaders, their tales of tough times and tribulations, as well as their trade secrets, tips, and learned strategies that led to their success. Our dream is that you'll learn from their mistakes and challenges and implement their solutions for yourself. So grab a cup of coffee or settle in for the drive to work or to the gym and enjoy. Make sure you give us your thoughts online at Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn, and hit that little subscribe button to make sure you get our episodes every week. Without further ado, here's our next guest.
Welcome to Ben McConnell, who owns Flow Jiu-Jitsu and Men's Talk. We saw how much you loved the episode with Whitney from Champions Gym, so we decided to branch out and get a martial arts founder on the pod. Ben tells us all about his journey with mental health, the root beginnings of Men's Talk, which endeavours to make conversations around wellness and masculinity mainstream for male-identifying members of our community, and how Flow Jiu-Jitsu was born from this concept. I'd also like to acknowledge and voice my appreciation for being able to record this podcast on Whadjuk-Budja, Perthland, and be able to pay my respects to the Noongar ancestors and elders who are the traditional owners of this country. Let's get into it. Let's do this.
Perfect.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast. I'm super excited to chat to you.
It's a pleasure.
We've got our Pressed Earth Vitamin C juices. What have
delicious.
We got? I couldn't find, can you talk me through the, is it a Reaper or Reaper?
I think it's a Reaper.
Oh, Reaper.
Yeah.
See?
I'm probably not the best person to ask.
You're not the manufacturer? That's crazy. A Reaper, it kept coming up as brain juice. And I was like, I really want to know like what this is all about.
So a while back, I really got into like a brand of supplements called nootropics.
Yeah.
And they're meant to be like cognitive enhancers. So they've got different herbs and vitamins in
spices.
Them that are meant to be really good for, you know, stimulating brain function.
Yeah.
Like Bacopa Complex and other bits like that. And they started coming out with drinks.
Yep.
I used to shop with this company called Onnit, which is an American company that provides like supplements.
Right.
But it was just so expensive. So when I saw local drinks coming out that had the same kind of things in them, I was like, well, this is great. I can get everything I wanted at a cheaper price.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So I went to go and find it at Player Coffee, which is in the city. And my mistake, obviously nothing's open in the city on the weekends. Classic Perth. but I know that there are two stores up near Karen Up and I think Balcatta that do it, that stock them as well. So I'll have to check it out in the week.
Where in Karen Up did you go, out of curiosity?
I didn't go to the Karen Up one to look for it, but I saw it on the store locator. It's like a Whole Food type place.
There's a new gym called Synchro. In Karen Up, upstairs, above the Woolies.
And they stock it?
They stock it. It's their whole front fridge.
Okay.
So that's where I found it.
Oh, well, I'll have to check it out because I go up to Karen Up for the food precinct now. But
do you get lost much?
Yeah, you don't say. Well, I get most lost when I'm going from the car park to the top area. And I literally have been texting my friends before and been like, I'm actually not sure where I am. Just give me like 10, maybe 15 minutes to find you because it's that big.
On a good day.
On a good day, yeah. And I see you're wearing some merch from Flow Jiu-Jitsu.
I couldn't help myself.
Before we get into your businesses, let's get into you. So have you always been like a go-getter, a bit of an entrepreneur, or would you classify yourself as more of like an introvert? Not that they can't be entrepreneurs, just what's your personality type?
I think I've definitely always been a strong extrovert.
Yeah, nice.
Whether I've been a go-getter might not be the case.
Ambition at the forefront of
I've always liked to think that one day I would have gone and done something, but I always kind of stayed pretty comfy inside my sporting circles or friendship circles. Pretty bubbly, pretty outgoing. I mean, you do all those personality tests at work and I always was like really strong yellow on the color scale, which is just total extrovert. No blue, no green, like nothing.
Yeah.
But as far as being a go-getter, probably not as much, but definitely, I love to be out and about chatting to people and communicating and doing things. But
awesome.
the go-getter stuff's probably come later in life.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks so much for dragging yourself out of bed today for this. I know it would have been hard for someone like you.
Big sleep in today.
Yeah. So where would you say the entrepreneurial spirit came from? Or should we – actually, let's take it back a little bit. Are you from Perth?
I am from Perth.
Yeah. How and whereabouts from Perth?
So I was born in country Victoria, but we moved here when I was one.
Okay.
And I grew up in Kinross.
Nice, yeah.
Kinross on Ocean Reef, so the northern suburbs, which is nice.
Yeah.
And just kind of potted around that area. Since then, I've never really lived anywhere else.
Oh, so you're still in Ocean Reef?
Yeah, no, Kinross. I'm now in down in Wanneroo.
Okay.
But never strayed from North of the River. I'm a North of the River boy at heart.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because when I came to Perth, we did North of the River all the way from, it's a suburb starting with T, and I can't remember because it was like 8 years ago and we only did like 6 months there. But then we moved to Ocean Reef and we lived in and around Hillary's Ocean Reef's Whiffords area. And I now live in Como.
Como.
I know, south of the river, just.
Wow.
Just.
It's a beautiful spot though.
It's gorgeous, yeah. And it's really, really nice next to like the public transport and everything like that. It takes me seconds to get anywhere, which is really, really good. I like that about where I am now. But I really liked Ocean Reef. I felt like it was so far removed from the hustle and bustle and it was just like – you could go home, go to the beach, and sort of now you could probably work from home. Tell us a bit about your work. Is it work from home work?
It's definitely not now. It was work from home work, and I guess that's a story in itself.
Yeah.
But now I work out of a gym called Mobius Health and Performance in Joondalup, run by Daniel Meaden and a friend of mine.
Yeah.
He opened his own gym, and when he opened that complex, I was 100%. Bought into everything he was doing. He's awesome in everything that he does.
Cool.
Complex does a lot of work with kids with disabilities. There's a lot of exercise physiologists and physiotherapists on staff, as well as like the strength and CrossFit side of the business as well. And there was a room upstairs at the previous facility that wasn't being used. And I just thought, this is it. I'm going to go for it. So I asked him about using the room to get going with coaching jiu-jitsu and MMA.
Amazing.
And a week later, I started the journey.
That's incredible. It sounds like you kind of just like jumped into it, but there's obviously some backstory to it. So how did you get into that industry and did you start with anything in particular in terms of, was it MMA first? Was it like what came first?
So I started boxing and MMA first. I really didn't want to do jiu-jitsu. I started when I was about 17.
Yep.
And I was really interested in learning to fight. And that typical, you know, I want to be tough.
Yeah.
I wasn't tough growing up. there was a couple of times where I found myself in altercations and I remember being petrified.
Yeah.
And just my whole body shut down. I was so scared. I was waiting for that to be over.
That's horrible.
And there was a couple of scenarios when I got into my kind of later teenage years where friends got in trouble and I realized to myself or within myself that I didn't know if I would have the confidence to intervene or to help someone out if they were ever in that situation.
Yeah.
And then after school, I was immediately like, okay, I need to reclaim some confidence in this area. Not that I'm going to go out looking for fights, but I don't want to feel like a victim before anything's ever started. Like immediately I'm going to be on the back foot, just terrified, looking to get away.
Yeah.
So I found a gym that my brother was coaching or not coaching at, but training at with a friend. And I went down for a few sessions and started MMA and boxing and slowly progressed into jiu-jitsu as well as was encouraged by the coach.
Yeah.
And here I am now.
Yeah. So your coach made a bit of a difference there on what path you followed.
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhat. What's the difference between MMA, boxing and jiu-jitsu?
So boxing is purely striking with the hands. Mm-hmm. Nothing else really. So it's all hand striking. Jiu-jitsu is submission grappling. So there's no strikes in jiu-jitsu unless you're doing combat jiu-jitsu, which is a new sport in itself, which you can hit with open hands.
Oh.
But jiu-jitsu is basically just looking for strangles, arm locks, leg locks, submissions, or getting points victories for positioning in grappling as well. So dominant positioning.
Right.
And MMA is kind of a combination of all the martial arts.
Yeah.
So it's just a bit of a full contact
fight
sport where there's minimal rules and you're looking for a finish or a points victory. So by submission, knockout, ref stoppage, injury, anything like that.
The whole gambit.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Sounds like something that would really boost your confidence there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think everyone's got a bit of a story if they are in this space in fighting or anything like even fitness, just fitness related to do with combat and that sort of thing. I remember my brother was quite bullied at school. And then we started, I think it was Muay Thai, we did it together and I did the first session and it was all boys. So I didn't go to the next session, but he kept going and it boosted his confidence quite a lot. And he's now quite like a built, broad kid where he was like a little bit of a string bean back in 2004. And I feel like that had a huge thing on his confidence, like a huge impact, a really positive impact. And it's funny that you say like, you know, you were in instances where you were sort of, you went into freeze mode. Because I think we talked about it on a previous podcast, but the reason I got into kickboxing was because I was in a fight, not me personally. I was just involved in a fight at a venue and I got stabbed in the back of the leg.
Oh my God.
And my partner was punched in the face. And his reaction was to like fight back, but he went catatonic mode after he'd been hit a few times. Mm-hmm. And my response was like flight. So I didn't even realize I was getting stabbed or like whatever was happening. I just grabbed him and like forcefully pulled us both out of the venue. And then after that, straight away, like I got all the stitches, the leg, you know, everything sorted. I was like, next time, because he got all like aggro, like next time I'm going to take his fucking head off, like all this stuff, right? And I was like, next time I want to be able to defuse the situation with combat because you can't use words in that situation. They're not being reasonable. People who go out and have a fight or pick on like the male-on-male violence is a huge topic in its own right. I mean, we can touch on that if that's something that you
absolutely
that impacts what you do. But I think as someone who's a bit of a peacemaker, I went straight out and I was like, I really want to learn not to just defend myself because I think for women as well, they teach women how to get out of situations and not to control situations. And I know some gyms probably do that. I know Champions, Whitney at Champions works on that really, really well. But a lot of it is like you're the helpless person and you need to run and escape. And that's obviously the best thing to do in a situation like that. But the control aspect is super interesting to me. So let's delve a little bit into the male-on-male situation.
Absolutely.
And the confidence that you gained once you started MMA and then jiu-jitsu. So how did you find that impacted you, your friends, and the situations that you may have found yourselves in once you'd started this journey, just learning the combat and the sport itself?
Yeah, I think when I first started, I thought it was going to turn me into this hero, that I was going to be in situations that I would then be physically imposing, shut the situation right down, and the world would bend to my beck and call from there.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing I've received from training, especially an extended period of training, is you understand – one, sort of, you're not made of glass, but also on the flip side, that you can hurt someone very easily and quite extensively. You know, we've seen all the one punch attacks that have happened and the, you know, lifelong damage people have had from those attacks. But for me, it was being comfortable in my physical self gives me the opportunity to be the best person I can be and my most genuine self. And when I explain that to people, it's kind of like saying when you're in a situation, the ultimate kind of loss of control in any situation is physical violence. And if you're ever worried that that's going to be the case, or when someone starts to raise a voice or a situation progresses in that direction, you don't always act the way you hoped you would have acted in that scenario. You start being submissive or you start doing whatever you think will defuse the situation, especially if you're in a situation where someone's being disrespectful to someone, racist, you know, being a bigot. You don't want to just let that person keep going with what they're doing. Mm. And I think the training has enabled me to be my most genuine self, which ends up shutting down situations because you can intervene in those places and just say, hey, that's not right. And the confidence that you have when you're having those conversations really comes through, and you can nip things in the bud a lot earlier than in other scenarios. So it's just that being able to be your most genuine self all the time and not have to worry about what happens if I lose control of this situation, because you're comfortable regardless of what happens.
Yeah. Do you think it comes from fear, like that response from the person who's not looking to find the peace and to de-escalate things? They're the ones maybe being the aggressor. do you think it comes from like a place of fear, or where does that come from? Like, how does that?
I think an element of it is fear.
Yeah.
I think another element of it is a lack of acceptance. I think people ultimately just want a sense of community and they want to fit in. So when they feel like their existence is challenged, they start to fight back, or they start to challenge what's in front of them, almost as if to prove that that's not right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a strange dynamic about why certain groups of people or certain people will arc up at certain things as well.
Yeah, I'd love to go into men's mental health. Like, I've always thought that if I wasn't in marketing, I'd go into men's mental health because it's so untapped.
Yeah.
Like, it is a fact that men deal with mental health issues, suicide rates are higher, all that sort of thing. Those are facts, but I just feel like we don't have something that looks into it enough. Mm. We don't have an interest to understand it enough. And it's just like, the fact is, you know, men between ages 25 and 35 are, you know, the suicide rates really picked up in COVID especially. And then even younger than that. And that, if that's not a cry for like, can somebody do something? Like, it's not just, obviously not just men, but that is a really like big area and a big group of the community that we live in that could be a bit more of a focus for those health areas. But that's a whole conversation in itself, and we can speak to like a health professional on that. Tell me more about Flow and what you do to sort of help the community in that area. Are you specifically focused on a certain age group or gender? Who's your target audience?
I think I followed my coach's kind of path in that sense, is that we wanted to be an all-encompassing gym. Mm-hmm. So I wanted it to be for the everyday trainer, for the competitive martial artist. We now have some kids with disabilities that are coming in because, you know, martial arts should be for everyone. Yeah. I think we all saw a martial arts movie or a kung fu movie when we were growing up. And you just, regardless of who you were, boy, girl, where you came from, you kind of, there was this excitement in you that was like, oh, I want to be like that.
Yeah.
And that should be for everyone.
Yeah.
And it is for everyone. And with jiu-jitsu, you take away the elements of balance and things like that as well, where standing, you know, we have some kids with CP, cerebral palsy, and one side of their body might not work as or function as well as the other side. So balance can be an issue, especially if you're doing boxing or kickboxing. So when you turn to jiu-jitsu and everything's lying down, that confidence and balance, it's not a problem anymore, and they're free to move around as they want. So I wanted the gym to be for anyone, but also have that performance side of the gym as well for those that want to compete competitively in martial arts. That was there for them. But we do just look to focus on a full spectrum of support.
Yeah, awesome. How easy was it to start that your own gym? Because I know that you said you saw the space, you had the mate who was doing something similar. How easy was it for you to just actually do it, like in terms of self-confidence, but also like literally financially, all of that? Like physically, how hard was it as well as mentally?
So I didn't transition immediately. So for over a decade, I worked in FMCG or fast moving consumer goods as a rep and in an accounts team for a couple of the world's biggest multinationals.
Wow, what a difference.
Yeah. Over time, when I was younger, all I wanted to do was make more money and climb the corporate ladder.
Yeah.
And I distinctly remember a conversation with my brother where he said, money's not the most important thing. And I said, mate, if someone was going to give me $1 million a year to stare at a brick wall, I'd be happy all day thinking about what I was going to spend my $1 million on.
Wow.
And I always thought that that was kind of the way I was going to go. Climb, 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 more money, more money, more money. The closer I got to 30, I'm 31 now, the more I realized that I wanted purpose in what I did, and that I didn't want to waste a third of my life or half of my waking life doing something that was you were living for the weekend. And then eventually, I think it just took a toll on my mental health. The hours, the stress, the lack of gratitude for the things you do and how you go out of your way to support. And at the end of the day, if you were to leave, you're a number and a figure, and they would replace you in a heartbeat. And next year they would forget that you even existed. And I just, it boiled over and I couldn't do it anymore. So I turned to my partner and she said, well, what do you want to do? And I had no other choice at that stage. And I'd never thought about being a coach. I always liked being a practitioner. And I just thought, why don't I coach jits? And within a month of that kind of conversation, we had some jigsaw mats upstairs.
Yeah.
And it started with maybe two or three guys in the gym that wanted to learn some jits and grew from there.
That's incredible. That's awesome. That's a cool story. I feel like the corporate ladder jargon is so familiar with almost everyone because that's the way society primes us, right? That's what we're groomed to do. Go to school, figure out your best subject. And if none of them fit, you force yourself into one that you can force yourself into.
Yeah.
And then expectation after expectation is just the same for everyone. Mm-hmm. But it is like, do you find that's around like with your friends and stuff and your partner and all that in this age group, we're like kind of waking up to it. Do you think that's changed in the past? Because I feel like a lot more younger people are sort of recognizing the potential of not doing what we're supposed to do and what the system is built for us to do.
Yeah, I think we're probably blessed by the age of technology now in that you see so many people, like people making millions of dollars making YouTube videos or having successful podcasts, and the opportunities are endless for what people want, and the information is available at your fingertips at how to do it. Whereas when I was growing up, you know, I still remember a time where there was dial-up internet and that if someone called the house, it cut you off.
Yeah.
And, you know, you had to go to the library if you wanted information.
Yeah.
So I think people are – I think the education system lets us down, and I think the access to information now is making it easier for people to make their own choices, and seeing other people doing it is making it easier to make that decision.
Yeah, yeah, totally. So something that brings people physically to a space, such as a gym, I think is so important because you mentioned the digital and the technological advancements and everyone sort of being able to do something from the comfort of their home. So like, you know, I don't know if you've seen Ready Player One, how they look, the avatars, like you literally don't have to leave your room and you can be and say whatever you want to be and say. How important would you find that physical space and bringing people into or from a community into a niche community where they can, you know, whether they've got disabilities, whether they've got mental impairments, that sort of thing, or whether they're just like, you know, someone who just wants to try something new, how important is it to have that in-person experience?
Incredibly. We have a big shed at home, and there was a reason I chose to rent a space at the gym instead of have the shed at home. That access to a community and a group and people seeing each other, communicating with each other, having a coffee at the cafe that's there, just getting away from other aspects of their life to do things together. Community's so important. I mean, that's kind of why I started the charity. I started a charity with some friends as well, and that's a big focus for us is community. But I just think it's something we're getting further and further away from. The more that social media takes over, I couldn't count on my hands the amount of times where I've just zoned out on my phone and then looked up and, you know, a couple of hours has gone by and all I've done is scroll through a social media feed, realizing that I've just lost part of my day.
Yeah, and that very valuable part of the day that you were trying to escape from losing in the corporate world, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about the charity.
So around the same time that I was starting to have a bit of a crisis with my corporate life, I participated in an event called the Swim for Life.
Oh, yeah.
And back then it was just a fundraiser that raised money and they selected a mental health charity each year and they became kind of the benefactors of whatever money was raised. It got to a spot a couple of years in where we realized that there's a lot of charities in the mental health space, but nothing that kind of niche focused on what we wanted to drive attention into, which was promotion, prevention, and early intervention. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of charities that operate in the rehabilitation space, which is incredibly important. That plays a massive part in recovery and helping people. But there was a quote by Desmond Tutu that, at some stage, we have to stop pulling bodies out of the river, go upstream and find out why they're falling in. And we all saw that. And a group of us decided we were going to start a mental health charity, a men's mental health charity. So we started Men's Talk about 18 months ago.
Incredible.
And it went from strength to strength. I now do 3 days a week for Men's Talk as well.
Yep.
So I blend the two. You know, I'm able to work online from the gym in between clients, help out with the different projects we have going on.
Yeah.
But it was just a massive passion of mine and my own journey with mental health. I couldn't wait to get involved.
That's incredible. Can you tell me a little bit more about, so what is involved in the charity, who exactly you help and what the methods that, you know, because why wouldn't someone else have started it? What made it unique that you guys started it, and what do you do that's different to what exists out there? Because I know we said before, and there's not much. There's a lot of, you know, facts out there, but in terms of early intervention especially, and especially in the digital age, like it's all kind of connected to, you know, technology showing kids things that adults understand that kids don't understand, mm-hmm. And how that impacts them now in their early adolescence and then adulthood as well. And it's, we're still going to figure that stuff out as we grow, as the generations advance. But tell us more about like what you do exactly in that space now.
So it started as just the single fundraiser. We had the Swim for Life, and then we took that money and we put it into putting on workshops throughout the year. So at the moment we have the single workshop, which is movement and breathwork with Cam Watkins, a physiotherapist in Darch.
Yeah.
So that happens on the beach once a month. We've got more workshops coming that'll be free. There'll be a lifting workshop with Dan at Mobius, a Pilates with Gabby at Synchro. There'll be a swimming workshop, a boxing workshop coming up. We want to create spaces people can come in, feel safe, engage in things that are healthy, like physical activity, connect with a community that's going to interact on that same level with them and without fear of being criticized for how they feel or anything they want to talk about, but also to start having those conversations with people and engaging in those conversations in communities before people start to feel anxious, depressed. Yeah. There's always going to be resources for rehabilitation, but you don't wait until you're morbidly obese to start working on your fitness, or you shouldn't. You don't wait till you're bankrupt to have a look at your finances and put together a budget. You know, just the same way with your mental health, it's not, you don't focus on that when you become depressed. It's a thing that we practice every day. It's a skill.
Yeah.
And you train your body to notice signs, to understand what it needs, how to feel good, how to feel better, where to go. Yeah. The fact that it's not taboo to reach out to resources, what those resources are, and that most people should probably be seeking those resources out now while they feel good and engaging in conversations with professionals that can help them unpack things that are going on inside them.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean they're weird or they're broken. It just means I have some things I would like to get off my chest before it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
And I would like someone that understands it to be able to help me work through that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that you touched on that, because the biggest thing that stuck with me when I first started therapy was like the worst timing ever, because it was, I sought out like a mental health plan, and I was, because I was, wasn't loving my job, wasn't sure I wanted to stay in digital marketing. I was like, I feel like I'm contributing to something so toxic in this world, which is like shoving advertisements down people's throats. And now I understand there's like a broader sort of way that I can assist in the space of digital. But when I was going through the therapy, I was going through a breakup. My mom was going through something with an abusive situation. And I was just like, why do men behave the way they do and just don't acknowledge it? Because I know that the old adage that, you know, if you've got a psycho ex, she's keyed your car. And I say she because it's always a crazy woman.
Yeah.
But why is it when a man shuts down and doesn't want to talk to you that, you know, you're just, that's the way men are, stoic or whatever it is? And I asked my therapist, that was the first thing. I was like, I just want to understand why people do things the way they do. And not just men, I wanted to understand why women are in abusive situations and why, you know, I was in a relationship where I didn't see, you know, what was real. And she said to me, for men, it's interesting because she sees a lot of men in her practice don't go to therapy until they're in their mid-30s, if at all. And I was like, why is that? Like, why aren't younger boys going? She's like, the main thing that she thought was because she didn't see any role models for them going to therapy, talking about feelings, that sort of thing that made them feel like they could. So when they did eventually come to therapy, it was like between the ages of 35 and 50 when they'd royally fucked up their lives and could recognize that that was something that they needed to work on, or they got to like rock bottom, you know, which is so horrible to like recognize that you can talk to someone once you've tried to take your life or something. Like, what is that about? So do you see people, because I know you said early intervention, but do you see people at that point of realization? And how does that make you feel to like connect with people like this on a level of, you know, you're in a good space, you're really working on yourself before anything does, you know, to prepare yourself to not hit rock bottom in that way mentally, versus the people who are like, oh shit, I'm done at the bottom there. I need some help. What's that like for you if you've experienced that
I think it's becoming more commonplace to have conversations around mental health. We've got a lot of days or a month now, you know, November's the It's Okay Days. I still think it's very surface level. I don't think people are going to be comfortable having genuine conversations about hard topics and topics that they don't want other people to know about until they see other people having conversations about hard topics. And then when they see something that someone's having a conversation that they can relate to, going, actually, that's how I feel. I thought I was an island. I thought I was all alone here. This is clearly a lot more common than I thought. Maybe I'm going to have a conversation. And you touched on, you know, when people become suicidal or they hit rock bottom, and that's that rehabilitation space. And that could potentially have been avoided. I guess there's no guarantees. You don't know how people are going to unfold. But a part of what we focus on at Men's Talk is we want to redefine or reclaim what it means to be a man. There should be no prerequisites to existing. You know, you hear things thrown around like, oh, you need to be tough, or you need to be protective, or you need to be a host of a range of different attributes. But it's like, that's not what being a man is. There is no prerequisites. Not everyone prescribes to the same list of traits.
Yeah.
And just because you might not doesn't mean you're not a man. So I think we need to shake that. And this concept of masculinity, what is it? I think they're big issues. And if we can really dial those down at a younger age about, okay, why do you want to be this way? What do you want to do? And encourage people to be their most genuine selves, then we can have conversations about this. But I think men are stuck at the moment. And I think a lot of it dials back to, you know, traditional gender roles and how we've positioned society and the way, you know, our culture was built. But that's unpacking a whole different kettle of fish.
Yeah, oh, I love it. Let's go there.
I think men have done this to themselves unknowingly from how we've set society up. I think women have come a long way, and they're having this rebirth, and they're finding this new place in society. And I think, unfortunately, it's seeing men be confused about what it means to be a man, and, well, what do I do now? And it's just to be your most genuine self and find what you want to do, how you want to contribute to the world, how you want to give back, how you want to find purpose.
Yeah.
And that doesn't have to be this small box that we've made about what men do.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like that you're capturing them in an environment where they are maybe unknowingly coming to be physically tough and to gain protective skills and that sort of thing. And then learning, like, hang on, I could do this for the physical health aspect of it. I could do it for, you know, the agility aspect, the community aspect, not necessarily just to get big and strong and tough.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's where I found my biggest breakdown was. I'd had a couple bad relationships in my early 20s, and it was after a sparring session where I just broke down. I didn't have the physical energy to hold on to the emotion anymore. And I just had a massive conversation with my coach. And I think it's a good way to get people to a spot where the part that they're feeling vulnerable about is the activity. And then once that vulnerability disappears at the end, it's like, oh, the conversation's easy. Well, let's have the conversation. I've got no energy to hold on to this anymore. Yeah. So let's just let it all out.
Yeah, because it is energy sapping. It is, you have to store it somewhere, right? And you mentioned about breath work and that sort of thing. If someone's never dabbled into that, how do they know what to look into in terms of like EQ, so emotional intelligence versus the physical, advancing yourself physically if you want to, you know, spend hours at the gym to zone out versus doing something that makes you zone in and like be conscious and aware. What are the benefits of that, and how do people learn about where to even start with that?
For breath work or?
Well, specifically, maybe if you've got examples for the breath work, but if you think like even training, if that's something that you think people should come to with full awareness and zone into as opposed to, you know, zoning out at the gym, as I think a lot of people do. It's their downtime, their brain switch off time, listen to music time. That's all good and fine, and there's definitely space for that. But what is the value in having space for something that you need to come prepared for to recharge those emotional batteries and to be aware. Did I word that?
You did. I think
terribly.
People definitely use the gym. It's almost, it becomes the medication.
Yeah.
They use it as the way to dampen everything, but they don't do the further work in unpacking what's happening.
It's a good way to put it. Thank you.
And it doesn't create a long-term solution.
Yeah.
So there'll be periods of time where, I mean, you either can't get to the gym or the gym's just not quite enough anymore.
Mm.
So with all of my kids, we start the session by sitting down and I make them rate their week on a scale of 1 to 10,
oh,
1
cool.
being terrible, 10 being amazing. Then they have to pick 3 words that explain to me key emotions that they've felt throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to describe why they picked each of those emotions.
Wow.
I think adults could probably do that a lot more as well.
Mm.
I mean, I think a few people do journaling and it's really helpful. And it just gives a little bit of awareness into how you're actually feeling and some of the highs and lows from the week, and then having a bit of a reflection on why you feel that way. We come back to that after the exercise and we do it again sometimes at the end, and the scores are usually better. So it's a way to see, oh, actually, I feel good. The way I was feeling probably wasn't a reflection of my true feelings.
Mm.
It was a little bit of how I'm doing right now. And I think people have a lot of recency bias when it comes to their emotional capacity. You might have had 10 good days, 2 bad days. And if someone asked how your last couple of weeks has been, you'll go, it's been terrible.
Oh my gosh, I do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So having a bit of an analysis on how the couple of weeks has been or how the past week has been just by really reflecting on it gives a little bit of perspective.
Mm.
But then also chucking in a bit of breath work as well. Now, I'm not a breath work practitioner. I think breath work is a very important and a very powerful tool. So the breath work I do is usually kind of just long, slow breaths just to calm back down and focus on that long out breath.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a host of great breath work practitioners around Perth.
Mm.
I've done some one-on-one sessions with a wonderful gentleman called Ronan at Synchro.
Mm-hmm.
I did a 3-hour conscious connected breathwork session with Ronan, and it was, you know, powerful. It was emotional, and he held the space wonderfully so that I could kind of unpack a few things as well. So I think it's another wonderful mechanism for diving further inside.
Yeah, that's awesome. We spoke to Ollie Jenkinson, who does alchemy breathwork here in Scarbs, and I went to one of his sessions, and it was quite a long one, and it was a cacao ceremony as well. So I was like fully out of my depth. I was like, I have no idea what to expect. I meditate. I've got this.
Yeah.
I'm fine. I do my 10 minutes a day. It's fine. And I was completely blown away by the space that was held for anyone, but the fact that the men who were attending the session, big mining guys, like, you know, people that look like they might have, you know, just been an average Joe, and I don't know what average is these days, so picture what you like, but literally anyone that you would not suspect have such a deep internal emotional connection with themselves were like, they were sharing the most incredible things. I got so teary. I was like, holy shit. And everyone, no one says anything. You're not embarrassed. Everyone just kind of holds that space for you and, you know, hand on heart, sort of like, we recognize what you're going through and kind of proud of you, bro. Like, come, you know, I can't believe you're here. This is incredible.
Yeah.
And then you have the space at the end to like do the breathing and the meditation, and they come and work with you. So that was my experience with it. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe more people don't do this. It is hard sometimes to set aside time in the week if you are, you know, if you're flat out, you're busy, or you write the narrative that you're too busy for it, which is probably the biggest problem in society. And I'm so guilty of that as well. Like I get angry at my friends when they say, oh, you're so busy all the time. I'm like, but I fucking love what I do. And I'm like, oh, actually I have not made time this week at all for the downtime. And I'm really stressed and I've had a bad week because I've had one bad day.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, what if you've had that time to reflect and chill out?
Exactly.
And like be centered to then reflect on the whole week and, you know, do that sort of thing a little bit more often. Yeah, that's my little observation of breathwork, and I loved it.
Oh,
yeah.
It's amazing. And I think if you create, it's kind of that build it and they will come. If you build a space and people see that it's safe enough to come and be themselves and be honest with themselves, they will come along. I think we all get stuck in that I'm too busy this week. And I think that's a bit of a catch-22, because I think a lot of the time we do create excuses for ourselves. But that whole, I don't always agree with the whole, if you want to do it, you'll make time, because people do have busy lives, and there's no point beating yourself up if you don't get to something some weeks, you know, people have kids, jobs, obligations, you know, paying for houses. There's things that sometimes have to come first, and making yourself feel worse because you missed out this week isn't going to make you feel any better. It's just going to make it worse. So I think just acknowledging that we're humans and that, you know, we're doing the best we can sometimes, and the best we can is enough right now.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I would like to do this, and if I can have a look at next week's plan, maybe I'll try and fit it in. But giving ourselves a break, we've already got enough to worry about.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe it's more about like when you feel the steam building up, letting it off, you know, once a month, once every 3 months, whatever it is that works for you and your schedule.
Yeah.
Especially like you said, if you've got kids and like things that take priority, that's huge as well. So very good point made. Yeah. In terms of like the journey that you've been on then, because it sounds extremely in-depth, quite challenging emotionally. You've obviously experienced a lot just in 31 years of life. What do you foresee coming for you, and like how do you see the space that you're working in growing in the community and for yourself?
I'd love flow to continue to grow. So I think that'll be my focus, to build that community and give that back, to continue to work in spaces that maybe people in the martial arts space don't usually typically work. So doing more work with kids with disabilities. A friend of mine, Paris, we were doing free workshops for women at the start of COVID as well for self-defense. So she's a Thai boxing champ. So we were doing, you know, grappling and striking workshops that were free. So to come back to those now that we have the space to give something back, but to continue to work in the mental health space as well, because I think there's a hell of a lot that needs to be done. I think the martial arts space is a hyper-masculine space as well, and people go into that space to try and avoid the other space that I'm involved with. Mm-hmm. And I think the two probably go hand in hand, and there could really be some strong role models in the martial arts or the fight community to come forward. I don't know if you saw that film clip from the UFC last week with Paddy Pimblett, who after his UFC fight, he'd got a call on weigh-in day that a friend from home had committed suicide. And he just said that, you know, if you've got weight on your shoulders, you've got to speak to someone.
Yeah.
And I think the more we can get people like I think they said there was a massive spike in men seeking mental health support after that event.
Amazing.
But I think people still need, like I found working with kids, they tend to listen to me because they see the fighter, they see the fight coach, and then they listen to the message.
Mm.
So as backwards or as, you know, unhelpful as that really sounds, I think you've got to get in to the cracks whichever way you can at the moment and change it that way.
Yeah.
Until the system changes, we've got to fight it whatever way we can.
Yeah.
But to continue to have people that the community look up to coming forward and saying, no, this is all right. Like, we all need to do this. Yeah, that's the direction I want to go.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think it's a good focus on the younger generation because ultimately they go home and, you know, hopefully make differences to the lives of their older family members and friends and that sort of thing, which is huge because they're the ones running the world at the moment, running the system, making the rules.
Yeah.
It's really hard to see, you know, someone in power who's above the age of 50, 60, who's got archaic views, making rules and implementing systems that kids have to grow up in. It's quite hard to see that.
Or for a body they have no idea about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't even get me started.
Yeah.
I feel like it's good that the change is more widely discussed at the moment. And what's your opinion, I suppose, in terms of Perth versus the rest of the world in terms of how that's growing and change is coming?
I'd be wrong or I'd be lying if I didn't say I feel incredibly blessed to grow up in the place that I have. I love Australia. My family are all Irish and I'm kind of the first one that was born over here.
Oh, yeah.
And I love Ireland as well. But I'm blessed to have grown up here, but I'm blessed to have grown up the person I have here.
Yeah.
I've probably experienced very few obstacles growing up, and I've had a lot at my fingertips available to me. And, you know, my parents worked hard to get to where we are, and a credit to them for being who they were. Mm. But we probably all experienced a slightly easier path than other people have. So I think Perth and Australia probably still has a long way to go.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a yarning circle coming up with Men's Talk at Whadjuk Northside, where run by Len Yaron, where men can come to have a chat and to understand culture and to share culture together.
Yeah.
And we put that event up on Facebook, and there was a rather nasty comment put up on it regarding the, you know, what happened in last week with one of the politicians and, you know, not even getting involved in any of that. It just made me realize that we still have such a long way to go. The way I kind of look at it is live and let live, unless you're not letting live, in which case we probably need to intervene and have a quick chat about, you know, what's going on. The whole free speech, you know, let everyone do what they want. It's like, yeah, but let's encourage everyone to be their best, most genuine self. And if people feel safe in the environment to be that person, then we're headed in the right direction. But I just don't think we're there yet.
Yeah, and that's, I think the same is to be said for a lot of things like gender, pay gap, the like, yeah, mental health space is, there's many different areas that we are quite behind in the world, but particularly WA does it best, I think.
Yeah, I think it's just because we're more relaxed.
Yeah. Too chill. Yeah. We need to get a little bit amped up about some stuff.
I know. We just let everyone else set the pace and then we'll follow in behind from there.
Yeah. We're like, I think it was something we were talking about, something implementing something for Web3. And we were like, oh, we'll see how the East Coast does it first. And then what they do right, we'll implement that. But then someone made a comment that, well, Perth has got a bit of an attitude in that we try to test it ourselves anyway, despite the learnings from over East or internationally, namely like America, especially when you're talking about technology and, you know, Germany and Japan and all that. We're like, oh yeah, we see you figured something out, but we're going to try it ourselves from scratch. And you're like, why would you do that?
It's because we're the Republic of WA.
Where's that wall?
I know. We're waiting for it.
Oh, God. You know, yesterday I learned about the 26th parallel. It wasn't yesterday, but I relearned about it because we do it's technically like a line, latitudinal line that goes from Shark Bay all the way through to like the same latitudinal point on the East Coast in Australia. And it's more to do with like consumer law and what we can and can't sell and insurance because I work at RAC. I was just like, how crazy that we've made a line legally in the country. Like I couldn't get off that point. I was like, why? Why do we do that?
I have no idea. I just think people like to be involved more than they really should have a right to some of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Like what's this all about separation? And like, it's hilarious because you can probably go to the point, the actual coordinates and be like, this is in and that is out. It's very segregational. That
Simpsons episode. Yeah. Australia, America, Australia.
Yeah, literally. Like, and it's funny that our culture like brings things like memes and things into it because it makes a bit of fun of it. But I think it is important in the awareness generation of topics like that and topics like racism and sexism and all that sort of thing. We're totally diverged there, but I love that topic. I think we could really delve into that for days. But give us a little bit of a shameless plug. How can people chat to you and find out more about what you do specifically?
So they can find me through Flow Jiu Jitsu on Instagram or Facebook. They can also find me at Men's Talk AU on Instagram and Facebook. For anyone that's interested in getting involved in the martial arts space, whether for confidence, for performance, for a bit of exercise, we'll have a host of things available there. The women's workshops will be coming back. I'm also available for boxing classes Monday, Wednesday and Friday at Synchro at Karrinup. I run their boxing program for them. But with Men's Talk, just keep an eye on the calendar. There's going to be a host of different events coming out that some of them will be for men and some of them will be for everyone. You know, we do focus on men, but our mission is to build community. So it'd be a bit, you know, contradictory to build community with, only part of the community. So we have a host of events for everyone. We have some fundraisers coming up, but if people really want to make me happy, just get out there and do something that helps you be your most genuine self and share a story with someone that you think might help them, reach out to a friend and ask how they're doing, but genuinely ask how they're doing, you know, try and prod them for a response. And if you feel like there's something there, let them know that there's a safe place to open up And that's really what's important for me.
Yeah, awesome. I love that message. Let's see if we've got time. I've got one more question. We've got a few minutes.
Beautiful.
In terms of someone else who maybe wants to start a similar journey as you in their own community, or maybe it's a little bit different, how would you advise someone get started? Or maybe you can advise like your top learning or learnings from your journey that someone else who might be maybe a bit younger or just wanting to start in a similar space to you, maybe they're sitting staring at a brick wall earning $1 million a year and they're like, fuck this, I need purpose, let me get out of here. How would you advise them to just begin and start, and like maybe anything that you've learned throughout to kind of keep going?
Mm-hmm. I'll give you a couple of cliches then. I think you can do a lot with a little. I only had, 3x3, 4x4 meters of jigsaw mats when I first started. So if you've got the concept and there's something you want to do, scrape together whatever you can and start doing it. It'll start to build. And then when it starts to build, you can build out of it from there. Start now. Don't keep putting it back. So give yourself a deadline. Like, this is when it's going to happen and this is when I'm going to do it. Otherwise, you'll do what I did for a year and a half and constantly push back. Oh no, this month, it's not convenient for me. And reach out and ask for help, because there's so many people around you that have resources or would be willing to let you use a room or a space or this and that. You don't have to do it on your own. Being successful doesn't mean that you've created everything by yourself. And I think that's a bit of a false narrative that we have, is you see the billionaires in society and you go, oh, well, he started in a room in the back of someone's house. And it said, yeah, but he had help from, you know, 1,000 different people on the journey to where they are now. So the last cliche would be, what is it? The journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step.
Yeah.
So if you don't start, you don't do it, you'll keep pushing it back. And my coach always said to me, if you always have part-time hours, you'll always get part-time clients. So at some stage, you've got to pull the trigger, and it might not be tomorrow, it might not be next month, but at some stage, if you're offering a good enough service, you're being your genuine self and you're creating a safe space for people to come to, it's going to build.
Yeah. I really like that those two takeaways in the middle kind of help each other, because if you are asking for help from someone, you're therefore telling someone the goal and setting a deadline. Because if they're like, if you need to see a space by this date, they're like, cool, let's do it. And then you force yourself into a deadline of, got to do it.
Absolutely.
Sign that contract or whatever it is. Yeah. I love that.
Then you're in.
Yeah. I love the cliches.
Absolutely. So do I.
Notes. Yeah. Put them somewhere. They mean something. I like it. Yeah.
They come from somewhere.
They do. Yeah. Nike hit the nail on the head with the just do it, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Put that all over. Thanks for taking the time today. I really appreciate that. That felt like it went so quick.
I know.
Zoom, zoom.
How quick was that?
Yeah. I appreciate you taking the time. I'm really looking forward to like learning more about what you do. We'll have to attend one of those sessions or the fundraisers or something like that and get more involved, because it sounds like you're doing some really great stuff.
Thank you so much for having me in. I'll wait for you at one of those sessions then.
Yeah. No problem. I've told you now. I have to do it.
You've made the commitment now. Perfect.
Thank you, Ben. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Perth Business Podcast, where we love to talk a little bit of shit while discovering gems of knowledge from professionals and those just trying their darn best in Perth. Make sure you check out past episodes for trade secrets, tips, and learn strategies in various different industries. If you rate, review, and subscribe, it really helps the podcast grow and reach the earholes of many different business owners that could use the advice and insights from the learnings of our guests. If you, like our guests, are passionate about their community and open to sharing experiences, tips and ideas with other business owners, I look forward to connecting with you. You can reach out to me at theperthbusinesspodcast@gmail.com or slide into my DMs on LinkedIn, Instagram or Facebook. As always, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Perth Business Podcast. I look forward to connecting with you and collaborating with you in our business community in Perth.